Today we are in 1 Timothy, the book of 1 Timothy. Of course, we will read responsively. I will read first, and every other verse we will read together as a church. We're in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. We're going to start reading in verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 9. I will read the first verse and we will read responsively. And the Bible says this. It says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition together. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness together. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." In the final verse, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And let's pray. We thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for our church, as we heard, Lord, so much from our church family to our pastor to the good things you provide and how far you've brought us as a church, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you will do even this morning. Please be with Pastor Myers, fill him with your spirit, anoint our ears that we might hear exactly what you want us to hear this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Tell you where creation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running, but losing the race, were it not for grace. Losing the race, were it not for grace.
Thank you for that, Karina. We are in our stewardship series, and we looked at 1 Timothy last week. We're kind of going to go through that for the next couple of weeks. We're looking at God's perspective on stewardship. We learned that we have to have the proper attitude, and we saw last week that there was a false attitude that was spreading. People said that there was someone that was telling them these particular that Paul was making mention of, that said that having money is great gain. In other words, that's what it's all about. The Bible tells us what great gain really is. It's having contentment and godliness. The biggest hindrance in a lot of people's lives is the love of money. That's why we talk about it. Now, you say, well, not everybody here has a lot of money. Do you know you don't have to have a lot of money to have the love of money? It's not about how much money you have. It's about your attitude towards it. It'll hinder your life. It'll hinder your spiritual life. Many times we see in the Bible that money is equated with a competing God. When Jesus said you cannot serve two masters, he applied it to one specific thing, which was money. And so it hurts us in our spiritual life. It can hinder us in every aspect of our life. It can hinder us in our physical life. You know, it's hard to enjoy life and the things you're doing if you have the stress and the burden of a mishandling or a wrong attitude about money. That can affect you physically. It hurts in your relationships, your family and your friends. You know, they say there's four great causes of divorce and marriages, and one of those four is money, and it's a heavy one, so we have to be very, very, very careful. But in these verses, I think we can get some help with that. I need a little bit more over here, Oscar, if I can. We've all heard the story about the 1920s that there was an outbreak of diphtheria in Nome, Alaska. And you heard the story of Balto, the dog that went there. Well, what that whole story was about, they didn't have an antidote. And Nome, Alaska is kind of like up in a secluded area, and there was a huge storm that was there, and they were having trouble getting it there. And you know that you've heard the story, and they probably embellished it a little bit, but you know, the dog sleds that had to go, but the one dog sled team at the very end, they were in blizzard conditions, and really a Herculean effort to get the antidote there. Because without the antidote, many more children would have died. Well, as I look in these verses here, you say we looked last week up until the verse about the love of money. We included in here because you have to look at Scripture in its context. And the context here is the love of money. In these verses that we saw, that we just read, we are going to see the antidote to the love of money. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, from a wrong attitude, a wrong love for money springs out all kinds of issues in your life. It's the root, and from the root grows the tree and grows the rotten fruit. So we want to make sure that we have the antidote. It can spread all kinds of evil things into our life. People have done all kinds of evil actions. Why? Because of a love of money. Yep. Breeds covetousness. By the way, covetousness is one of the big 10. And it's mentioned everywhere in the Bible. It infects our faith to the point where we err. We saw that last week. And he even talks about in verse 9 the pain, or actually in verse 10, the pain that comes if we have the wrong attitude about money. You see, if we keep ourselves involved in some of these actions he mentioned in the previous verses, we're going to be troubled. We need the antidote to be healed. How do I know that I have this issue of the love of money? You know, whenever you get sick, there's certain indicators, right? You know, you get a fever. Maybe you get a cough that's strong, or a tightness, whatever it is. But there's indicators. What's an indicator that you have a love of money? You know, you'll be a hoarder, just trying to get as much as you can. And I understand there's times in everybody's life we live paycheck to paycheck, and maybe that's where you're at. And listen, there's been times when we didn't even live paycheck to paycheck, because by the time we got to the next paycheck, we were already running to catch up. And I understand, I've taught it in our college and taught it in the finance classes, you know, if you can, get a little bit of money and get ahead. There's a difference between being fiscally responsible and being a hoarder. And some people cross that line. You don't give, you don't tithe. That's a real sign that you have a love of money. When we will hold on to money to the point where we will not follow what God says, then in essence what we're saying is, I'm not saying this to be mean, I just want us to think this through, what we're saying is, I have a love and more security in money than I do in the Lord. Maybe you'll be selfish. Maybe your priorities will be out of place. Why? Because we have a love of money. Well, He gave us the antidote in the verses we read. And I want us to see several of them this morning. The first antidote for the love of money is flee. Flee. Look at verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Now, what's he talking about? Well, what did he talk about in verse 10? The love of money. Well, Timothy, this is a pastoral epistle. If you know anything about the Bible, pastoral epistle was epistles that Paul wrote to those who were pastors, leaders in the church. And he's telling Timothy, flee these things. You have to make sure that you don't let it get a foothold in your life. And when you see it coming, you need to flee. What does flee mean? It means run away. Do you know sometimes some of the best antidotes are the easiest? Okay? It's like, well, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Listen, here's an easy one. Run from it. By the way, the Bible talks a lot about fleeing. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication, sexual sin. He says, don't get involved with it. If you get that temptation, or you feel you're starting to get into a situation where something could happen, flee from it. Don't sit around. Take off. In 1 Corinthians 10:14, he goes, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Idolatry is not necessarily, although it is, bowing down to some idol. Idolatry is when anything can be an idol. Anything we put before God can be an idol. And whenever you feel something is starting to creep up in importance to your life, to the same level that God would be, he says you flee that. You would say, I would never do that. Well, wait a minute. We all say that God's first place in our life, but if I were to look at the things that are important to you and the time you put into them, what would that tell me about what's really important to you? You know, sometimes people won't give to a church or a project or to helping others, but you look in their life and they'll drop $200 to go do this or $300 to go do that. You know, look, and I'm not being mean here, but sometimes it's my job, Brother Pichardo. Some of the teenagers, like, I don't have money to come to youth conference. It's $75. Now, I guarantee you, Brother Tim, if I said this Friday, we're all going to Disneyland. We'd get a pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of not having something sometimes. It's a matter of what's important.
Yeah.
And let's not have idolatry. In 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee also youthful lust. What does flee mean? To seek safety by flight, by running, to escape safely out of danger, to run away, to vanish, to get out of sight. So if you feel that your attitude, the way you interact with money is wrong, you feel that it's starting to get a little bit too much of a foothold in your life, the Bible says, get away from that. See how dangerous it is and run from it. So often we get ourselves in trouble and anything that we do is wrong. It's because we hang around it a little bit too long. You know, we think we're okay. So flee. Number two, we're to follow. He says, but thou, O man of God, in verse 11, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So we don't just flee, but we are to follow. We have this thing we call the principle of replacement. In other words, when I was a Christian, I used to the music I had was not God honoring. Now I liked it, okay? I was just, too much hanging out at Robert's house. We listened to the wrong music. But I like that. And I didn't like the church music. I thought it was lame. Okay? But I understood that this music I was listening to, as I started to read my Bible and I started to listen to this, I'm thinking, these are two different concepts here. They are completely unrelated to each other. And not even just the style. And so I said, I'm getting rid of it. Now, I thought, I don't like the church music. I can't listen to this music. I just won't listen to any music. But you know, that doesn't work. And as I got into church, God changed my desire. I started liking church music. So I don't go back to the other music because I'm listening to something that is way better. See, if we're going to flee from that which is wrong, and one of those things is the love of money, then we need to start following the things which are right. Because if we follow the things which are right, it's going to help us to stay away from the things which are wrong. See, too often, and some of you teenagers are, well, you know, the school has these things and we can't do this and this and that. Listen, quit focusing on what you can't do and focus on the good things that God wants you to do. See, Satan always gets us to focus on the negative aspects. And I know there's, legalism, there's lists. Listen, legalism is adding works to salvation. When someone starts talking about legalism in the sense of not doing what the Bible says, they have no clue what the Bible says. Okay? That's not legalism. Legalism is adding works to salvation. What that is, you want to call it something? It's called protection. Okay? People, I don't like lists. I don't like lists either, but you know, God gave us a list of 10. And you say, well, thou shalt not, things that would hurt us. Thou shalt, things that would help us. It's protection. See, the scriptures are wonderful in a sense. If we do what they say, the things that would hurt us kind of start getting squeezed out of our life. And so if we're going to get rid of this this wrong attitude, and it could be more than just about the love of money, let's follow the things that are right. But we have an RU ministry, addictions ministry. Listen, what's the biggest part of the addictions ministry is really the daily meds. Is that what they call the book? What does that mean? They're daily meditations. It's not just saying quit drinking booze or quit doing drugs or quit, I don't know, whatever the addiction is. You're not going to quit it unless it's replaced with something that's better. And you know what's better? A relationship with God. Because if somebody really gets a relationship with God, they're going to see the stuff that's of low value very quickly. But if we don't have a relationship with God, we're going to fall into all kinds of things because we just don't see it from God's perspective. He tells us, and we won't spend time, that's not our thing for this morning. He tells us to follow all these things, righteousness, adding right biblical living to our lives. By the way, if we do that, we won't love money. Godliness, that's a desire to be like God. Godliness, living in such a way that we are incorporating the attributes of God into our life. Faith. Faith is a strong belief in God, which will bring security and enough trust to actually do what God says. One of the reasons we love money isn't because it's beautiful, okay? It's what we think it can give to us. We think that money can give us all the things that the Bible tells us only God can give. That's where we get messed up. But you know, if we have faith in God, we'll understand God will give us all those things. And by the way, so am I against money? I'm not against money. It's good when you have to pay your bills. Yeah. And I'm not against you making money. Long as you make it honestly, by hard work, you're not ditching God and your family to do it. I think if you work somewhere and someone's got to be the highest paid employee at your job, it might as well be the Christian. Yeah. Because you'll be a better testimony of how someone ought to work. Not against it. Faith, love. If we love the things of God, we will not love the things that God does not love. Talked about patience, being willing to wait on God for what we need and not trusting money for what we need. And then meekness, desire to have the spirit that God wants us to have and not some false spirit that comes by having money and possessions. And so we flee that wrong attitude and we start following these godly things. Verse 12, he gives us the third one. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, let me just stand here. Let's stay here for 1 minute. We have a very, 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 very soft brand of Christianity in this country. Everybody wants to be likable, right? Nobody wants to cause any waves. By the way, I don't like to cause waves. But if standing for the truth causes waves, then let's surf, okay? I mean, let's just, you know. It's amazing. Remember when, and I'm not trying to get political or whatever, but you can just jump wherever you want here with this one. Remember, what was it, Proposition 8, gay marriage? Now look, biblically, you hate the gays? Nope, don't hate them, but that's not biblical. And it's funny, when it was up for a vote in California, all the churches talked about it. Fact of the matter is, when it was up for a vote, all these states around the country, they all talked about it. I mean, not just Baptists, I mean, they all did. We've got to vote this down. You know what's funny? As soon as the Supreme Court said that it's legal, now what are all the churches doing? Well, we need to accept it. Really? Why? Well, because now they don't want to cause any waves. Do you know if we're going to do that which is right, sometimes we got to fight that which is wrong. You know where I found the biggest fight is, though? The biggest fight is right here. Right? I mean, we all want to do the things that are right. But we live in a body that just wants to do those things that are wrong. You know, Paul, I can't quote it verbatim because I get confused, but I feel it every time I read in Romans. You know, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do do.
Yep.
And it's like, I feel you. I'm there. And you've all felt that. You want to do the right thing, but there's just something inside of you that's saying, go the other way. You know what you got to do? Fight it.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Fights are good. Not fighting just to fight, but, you know, we're not walking around the streets looking for someone to fight, but if someone attacks your family, I'm pretty sure you're going to go at it. Okay? Say, well, he's bigger than me. Grab a pipe. Start swinging. Okay? There comes a time when something is important and you fight for it. And if you're going to fight this in your life, I've known people, there was someone in our church many, many years ago, and they had a relative, and the relative was diagnosed with cancer. And they called me one day in the middle of the day and said, hey, you know, he just passed away. I was wondering if you can come over to the house. And they actually had him at home, and I actually got there before the coroner and everything. I was there with the lady, and here was her husband. He was laying there dead. You know, he'd passed away. When I was talking to him about it, it's like, you know, when he found out he had cancer, he probably could have lived longer, but he just decided to not even fight it. He just said, it's not worth fighting. Because I asked, when did he get it? And she said, well, about January. And this was like February. Said he didn't want to fight at all. Didn't take anything, didn't do anything, just, I'm done. You know, some of us have that fatalistic kind of attitude when it comes to Christianity. You know, everything's okay as long as I don't face any opposition. Everything's okay as long as the sea is smooth. Well, let me just explain something to you. The sea isn't always smooth.
Yeah.
And so tough times come. And by the way, it's just our society is soft in every single way. You know, I'm so sick of these you know, the little boys' leagues and nobody wins. Listen, if you don't play better, you ought to lose.
Yeah, right.
Okay? I hated to lose, but if our team wasn't better, it's like, that's what we get. We're not better. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Everybody gets a passing grade. Okay? When I was in school, they didn't have that philosophy. If you didn't get a passing grade, you took the class over again.
Yes, sir.
But I don't want to hurt their emotional psyche. Do you know by just passing a kid on and not making them learn that they have to put in effort, you're not helping them.
Right.
You know? Well, you know, I want to get them out of that situation. It's rough. What's going to happen when they're out of your house?
Come on.
And we take this soft mentality and we bring it into our Christianity. You know, our little boys can't eat dirt. Boys need to eat dirt. And they need to fall down. They need to scrape their knees. I'm not talking about broken bones, but which those would mend anyhow. But listen, we don't want anything, you know. Some of the kids ought to walk around in a plastic body, a bag.
Yeah.
But that's how we are as Christians. We don't want to, listen, we got to fight for what's right. And there'll be times in your life when something's starting to creep in, and it's like, that is a wrong philosophy. I know that's a wrong attitude, and you got to say, with God's grace, I'm going to fight that. I'm not going to let that get a foothold in my life. Fight it. Fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life to seize that, the life that is eternal, not talking about heaven, living in a right way. I got to hurry. Number four, faithful. Faithful. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth, brings to life all things. And before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good profession, that thou keep his commandments without spot, unrebukable, and the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? That just keep the commandments. Now we fight the fight, but the bottom line, if it comes down to it, and you don't feel like doing it, do it because it's right.
Amen.
Right? We want the feelings. And by the way, we say that. You know, when someone gets saved, it's like, how do you feel? I don't know, how am I supposed to feel? By the way, you'll feel good if you understand the concept.
Yeah.
But if you want to feel good, stick your finger in a light socket. You'll feel really good. Okay? But it's not about feeling. Sometimes it's just about, you know what? This is just the right thing to do. Sometimes people come to church, I'm here today, man, I just didn't feel like coming today. Can I just tell you something? Neither did I. If you feel like coming to church when the alarm clock goes off, either your alarm clock is going off too late, or there's something wrong with you, okay? No, but we come because it's the right thing to do. And when we come, we enjoy it. But we got to get past this, how I feel. No, let's just do the right thing. Let's be faithful. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable in appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just be faithful. And lastly is this. Let's fix. Fix, F-I-X. What does that mean? Verse 15. Excuse me. Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's talking about Jesus Christ, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. He's so much higher than we are. And we'll see that in Revelation later. Whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Hey, let's just fix our eyes on the Lord. That kind of has a way of putting things in perspective, right? Your perspective usually comes from whatever you are looking at. If my perspective is on this, then boom. It's like Peter when he walked on the water. When Jesus came and he saw him walk on the water, it was still pretty stormy. And he said, he said, Jesus, can I walk on the water? Can I? Jesus said, come. And man, he jumped out. And he's walking on the water. Now I would have thought, wow. But then something happened. The Bible says he saw the wind. Now, I'm not a brain surgeon. Pretend to be one every now and then. You don't see wind, right? You feel it. You know what? He felt the wind. And now he started looking away from Jesus. And he saw in this. What am I doing? You're walking the water. Jesus is right there. And he started to sink. Why? Because he quit looking at Christ. Now, as long as he was looking at Christ and following what he said, he was walking on water. But when he let everything else get in his way, down he went. Isn't that what happens to us? Whenever we start letting our relationship from God drift away, things that shouldn't bother us do. Things that shouldn't creep into our life do. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. You say, well, with the love of money, that's not a big deal. You've not talked to enough people. I've talked to enough people over the years. I know money is a big deal. We don't know how to handle it. We buy into the concept that it brings security, so we dig ourselves in this incredible debt. It ruins our relationships. We have to work on ungodly hours to keep up with it, which again hurts us physically, hurts us spiritually, hurts us relationally. Money's a big deal. We've got to slay that. Let's have the right mentality about it. Let's not have the love of money. And he gave us the antidote. Flee, follow, fight, be faithful, and fix your eyes on the Lord. You see, the thing is this. It's not a terminal disease. It's something, you get some disease. It's like, no, this is what's bothering you, but what you got to do is just make some lifestyle changes, right? Someone that starts having heart issues, it's like, make some changes in your diet, make some changes in your exercise, make some changes in your supplements, and you'll be just fine. This isn't fatal. But I think some of us need to pull the prescription out and make some changes and get to where God wants us to be. Let's all pray together right now. Every head.